Hello and God bless you. Welcome back to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This is a ministry of the Washing Word. My name is Matthew, and along with my wife Victoria, we operate and own the Washing Word hand car washing business in Church Hill on Highway 11 in the Palace Shopping Center. There you can hear this and other messages being broadcast on 107.1 FM. They broadcast on a loop all day long while we are open, and they only go about 150 feet of the Washing Word building. So basically you need to pull into the parking lot, turn your radio to 107.1, and you can hear this and all of this week's messages as we play them on a loop each time, you know, during our open business hours. Or you can go to our website, washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. We have all of our pre-recorded sermons that we've preached so far on the media tab at the washandword.com website. Also, you can find out all about our business, anything you need to know about it, and other aspects of the ministry. And of course, you can join us at 8:30 every morning right here on this radio station for a verse-by-verse Bible teaching. So being a verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry, or a Jesus-by-Jesus teaching ministry, we're going to pick up where we left off yesterday. And yesterday we talked about chapter 4 being like a road trip, and we're going to be taking different side roads and different pit stops as we go through this. We're going to pull into the cross, as it were. We're going to refuel, restock, and just basically go forward with a new direction each time we pull in to the pit stop we call the cross. So we did 1 through 3 last week. We're gearing up for the discussion that Jesus has with the Samaritan woman. So let's look at verses 4 through 8 in chapter 4 of the Gospel of John. And we read, "Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone to town to buy food." Now we're going to stop right there. And I found this interesting, these four verses, because as we read these verses, and we also looked a little bit back at verses 1 through 3, it just so happens that the Pharisees caused Jesus to leave Judea. We saw that in verse 3 yesterday. And it just so happens that he had to go through Samaria to get to Galilee, verse 4. And it just so happens that the first city that he came across just happened to be where his human ancestors trod. We saw that in verse 5. And it just so happened to be the sixth hour, verse 6. And just happens that a Samaritan woman just happened to be strolling by for some water in verse 7. And it just so happened that his disciples were away into town buying food in verse 8. Well, what's the point? The point is simple this. There are no accidents for the obedient Christian. You know, all of these just so happens that we just looked at in these four verses, those weren't accidents. It wouldn't just happen. It was ordained. It was orchestrated. If I can use a cliche, everything happens for a reason. You know, God is in control of every little thing. And believe me, my wife and I are going through some stuff right now where it's like, if you're in control of everything, God, why are you letting this happen? Why do you tease us with this or bring this into our life only to take it away? And, you know, this isn't about me or my wife, so we're not going to get into that. But the point is that there are times where we just cry out, God, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? But Christian, there are no accidents for the obedient Christian, because everything happens for a reason. And if you will let him, God will work all things out for your good and for his glory. And I don't have to quote Romans 8:28 to you, do I? God works all things out for the obedient Christian. Here's an example. In 1 Samuel 9:4, it says, "He passed through the hill country of Ephraim and through the area of Shalisha, but they did not find them. They went on to the district of Shalim, but the donkeys were not there. Then he passed through the territory of Benjamin, but they did not find them." Why was God, and there's a background to the story, but Saul's looking for Samuel, and he's looking you know, and God is leading him to all these different places before actually leading him to Samuel. He didn't lead him directly to Samuel. Well, why does God do that sometimes? You ever wonder why God leads you in so many different areas and side roads and has you do this and all the while? Like, well, why didn't you just tell me that in the first place, Lord? Did you ever stop to think that God is testing you? You know, it is the testing of our faith that builds our faith. It builds our character. Your trials are testing you. You're being built up in them. If you've ever experienced just questioning like that, consider this scripture in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10. I love this scripture. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. So the Spirit stopped him from going to Asia to preach the word. And when it came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, they got up at once and left for Macedonia, concluding that God had called them to preach the gospel to them. In that scripture, Paul went every direction except the one that they were supposed to go in. And God stops us from moving in these different places. But here's what you need to consider. Paul never stopped moving. It was like a Pac-Man or video game where, you know, you're going forward and you hit a wall and you just bounce off the wall and go to the left. You hit another wall and you go up to the right or down or left. You know, you constantly keep moving and be flexible. I can remember going to a friend's house one time and they had this vacuum cleaner. It was a robot vacuum cleaner. You might have seen them. They're round and they basically just go around the house vacuuming all day long. And if it bumps into a wall or a piece of furniture, it stops, it backs up a little bit, it turns, and then it keeps on going. And it just goes around the house vacuuming all day as a robot, bumping into things and bouncing off of them and continuing to vacuum. And I thought that's a perfect example of how a Christian is supposed to be. We're just supposed to be constantly moving. And if we get bounced around a little bit, embrace it. It's testing you. Your trials, they're bringing you closer to God. They're giving you more strength. But then listen, I love that scripture where it says when Paul got the vision, he said at once they got up and went to Macedonia. So we fumble around sometimes. We bounce off some walls here and there. But the moment God is clear, get up and go. Do the thing that he told you to do. Because God could lead you straight to your particular destination. Just as in verse 8, Jesus could have drawn his own water, but God ordained it that he would talk to this woman. He allows us opportunities to serve him. When Jesus said in John chapter 10, which we'll be looking at in the weeks to come, he said, "The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." You know, part of that full life is the fulfillment of service, of serving God. And quite often, we bounce around until God gets us in that place where we are supposed to serve him. And I'll tell you what, I know it's hard sometimes as we bounce around and we question God and we wonder why things are happening the way they are happening. But in order to live and to react in accordance to the truth, we have to remember there are no accidents. So we must, well, let's take a look at this in the road trip form. And one of our side roads here is that sometimes we sputter around on flat tires. You know what I mean? Like our lives are like, you know, again, making the analogy of a road trip, we're driving on flat tires. We're tired. We're going slow. We're going in the wrong direction. We get lost. Every direction seems wrong. But then we pull into the cross. We pull into that time of fellowship, whether it be at church or alone in your spiritual closet with the Bible. And we get that spiritual tune-up. God fills up our tires with air and he tunes up the knocking in our engines. And then he gives us a map. And then we leave that area all filled up, all pit stopped and ready to go. And he gives us a new direction, a new way to go. And he gives us an air freshener for the stinking thinking that's in our lives. And that's the pit stop that we have to remember, that sometimes we have to just stop and realize that God is bouncing us around for a reason. Now, in verse 9, as we continue here, it says, "The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?' For the Jews do not associate with Samaritans." So, besides being a Samaritan, a rabbi, which Jesus wasn't really supposed to be speaking to women either. So Jesus opened with a simple question. He said, "Can you draw me some water?" But she doesn't answer the question. She immediately goes to the, "Why are you even talking to me?" It was completely odd for her to speak to, for a Jew to speak to her. And that's where her focus was. But Jesus sees a connection here. Look at verses 10 through 14. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And so she references Jacob's well, and then she says, "our father Jacob." Well, I did a little research, and not to get too deep into it, because it's not that important to the, well, to our application of life, but the ancestral line of the Samaritans does date back to Ephraim through Manasseh, a descendant of Joseph. So there was a connection here in regards to that. But remember this, Jesus was always led by the Spirit. If you remember, it says that the Spirit led Jesus to the desert to be tempted. The Spirit led Jesus to the cross, and the Spirit led him here through Samaria. His quote-unquote detour, which, again, there are no accidents, led to a salvation, as we'll see in the upcoming verses of this chapter. Sometimes the greatest discoveries are found when we are lost. Not necessarily spiritually lost, but when we are in unfamiliar territory. Somebody needs to hear this today, because oftentimes the detour is the way that we should have gone originally. Did you hear me? Often the detour is the way that we should have gone originally, which makes it not a detour at all. Acts 9:5 said, and he said, this is Paul, "Saul, who are thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Acts 26:14, "We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.'" So we see this scripture where Saul is becoming a Christian here. He's basically his road to Damascus. And many times we shuffle off in the way that we want to go, and all it does is create pain. It causes us to kick against the pricks or the goads, as it were. It causes friction because we're going in opposite direction that the Spirit is trying to lead us. And if the Spirit leads us to one of these places, then embrace it and be patient. Sometimes where we go is going to be painful, but we must embrace it. We must wait it out and be patient. Well, we'll pick it up here tomorrow talking about patience, because you can never have enough sermons on patience. But again, come back tomorrow at 8:30. We'll pick it up here as our verse-by-verse Bible teaching. We also encourage you to go by the Wash and Word. We are in the Powell Shopping Center in Church Hill. We do hand car washing there, and that's where we work to earn our money. We want to do like Paul, and we want to earn our money through serving you through our work and glorifying God through the job that we do. So we look forward to seeing you there, and join us again tomorrow at 8:30 right here on this radio station. Have a blessed day, and go and serve the Lord.